The highly contagious Omicron variant has brought new daily COVID case numbers to record highs this month. And the magnitude of infections has left many hospitals once again under tremendous pressure and even on the brink. In Texas, where just 58% of the state is fully vaccinated, hospitalizations have risen dramatically. Amna Nawaz has our report.
Judy, this month, the city of San Antonio is reporting the highest average of cases since the pandemic began. On Monday, health officials reported more than 7,000 new cases. The positivity rate has climbed to 38%, and over the last 2 weeks, hospitalizations have increased 80%. Dr. Jason Bowling is an infectious disease specialist at University Health and an assistant professor of infectious disease at UT Health San Antonio. He joins us now. Dr. Bowling, welcome to the NewsHour, and thank you for making the time. You guys in San Antonio are now dealing with your fourth COVID surge. Hospitalizations there have tripled since the start of January. What is it like for you to go into work every day?
Well, it's incredibly busy, as you can imagine, with the numbers increasing so quickly. We're really seeing a lot of hospitalizations and a lot of business in our outpatient settings in the clinics. With this most transmissible variant, the number of cases has gone really high. And even though it's relatively less severe than the Delta variant, given the high number of cases, that still leads to a lot of people ending up in the hospital setting.
Tell me about your patients. Are they mostly breakthrough infections, vaccinated people who are also getting sick, as we know happens with Omicron, or mostly unvaccinated?
So the majority of the patients that we see in the hospital are unvaccinated. We do see some breakthrough infections in the hospital setting, and those are often in people that have issues with their immune system or on medicines that can impact their immune system. But most of the people that are really ill and end up in the ICU are unvaccinated, and the majority of the patients hospitalized. More of our vaccinated patients may be seen in the clinic, in the urgent care clinic, or with their primary care doctor.
For the patients who are unvaccinated, who you're treating, do you talk to them about getting the vaccine?
I do. I think most of the providers do. I talk with them about the vaccine. I think at this point, you know, trying to find a place where you're just providing the information. Obviously, there's been a lot of information out for quite some time now about the vaccines. We're further along with our experience with that. And so I'm happy to share my experience with people that have been vaccinated. The other thing that we see with people that are sick enough to be in the hospital is actually many of them are more amenable or more willing to listen to talk about the vaccines. There are still some people that don't want to talk about it, and they will usually tell you that right away. I'm careful to respect those boundaries, but we definitely want to provide helpful information, let them know what's recommended. Also, that it's important, even when you're infected, to still get vaccinated because you can get reinfected. Natural immunity is not enough to keep you from getting sick again.
Can I ask you about some of the updated CDC guidelines for healthcare workers? Because we've been hearing a lot of headlines about that. Obviously, you've had staffing issues like every hospital around the country. The CDC says if any healthcare worker has a potential exposure, they recommend testing before returning to work. But with the rates that you are seeing and managing in your hospital, is that even possible?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we really have had to look for a way that we can balance the CDC recommendations with what's practical. You know, one of the challenges with having cases so high here and a test positivity rate so high is that we see people that will have multiple high-risk exposures within a week. So early on when we were trying to implement the testing before returning, we were finding people would need to be tested two or three times in a week. And that was a real challenge with the fact that we were trying to test all these symptomatic people that really need to be tested so we can establish a diagnosis. So we've kind of had to find a balance, to find a practical approach. We certainly want it to be safe when people come back to the work environment so they're not infecting their coworkers, but also find a balance that we're using the test as prudently as possible to keep it safe.
Tell me about your staff and what you're seeing among them right now, because we've been hearing stories, especially now as we're well into year two of this, of healthcare workers around the country just saying they are burned out. And they feel like the shorter isolation periods and having to go back to work, sometimes even if they've tested positive, just because they need to fill those staffing shortages, it really adds to the burnout. There was actually one nurse I read in a report in the Washington Post in California. She said, the more I give, the more you want. I have nothing left to give. I wonder if you're seeing or hearing that sentiment among your staff.
Well, we are certainly seeing that this has been a long road. It's been a long pandemic. People have given a lot of time. And now what we're seeing with this most transmissible variant is that lots of healthcare workers in a unit may be out at the same time. And so that we're asking the ones that are left to cover more hours. And so it has been hard. I've realized now that when you ask people, how are you doing? You're asking it with an intensity that you didn't ask before because you're concerned about how people are doing and well-being. But I've also been really impressed with the volunteerism, people stepping up to help cover for their colleagues that are out. People asking if they can come back in 5 days, you know, so that they can come back and help because I know people have been covered for them. So certainly a whole month, a mix of emotions. Definitely we're seeing fatigue. This has been a long time, but I've also been impressed with how people have stood up and risen to this challenge, despite it going on for much longer than anybody anticipated at the beginning.
Dr. Bowling, you've been here before in a sense, right? I mean, the staffing shortages, supply shortages, another surge in your area. I wonder if you thought 2 years ago that you'd be where you are today.
So I don't think that anybody can honestly state that they would think that this would go on for this long. I mean, people have predictions. So I didn't anticipate that. Certainly it does feel like we've been here. And you know, I think one of the words I think is now in Webster Dictionary of Blur's Day holds a lot of meaning because it does seem to be the same day over and over again. But I do see, you know, glimpses of progress, right? We have vaccines now. We have better strategies. We're trying different things. I think we have made progress. There's been some impressive scientific advances throughout this. We just need to continue to embrace those so we can get further past this so that, you know, the days coming forward don't look the exact same as the days that we've had in the past.
That is Dr. Jason Bowling from UT Health San Antonio joining us tonight. Dr. Bowling, thank you so much to you and your team for everything you're doing. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.